Welcome back to the Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. Your host Chris here, and supposed to have Brandon here with me, but we don't know where Brandon went. So I got my usual record round table, including Shannon here with us. We got Tim, Roe, and Joy here. Brandon might join us later when he realizes that it's on his calendar. We'll figure it out. But anyway, so this Black Credit Roundtable, we got two more that we're trying to do before the Academy Awards. And so this one, we're going to be talking about the actors and actresses that are nominated, and then we're going to get into some snubs and performances that we also want to recognize. That might not be like Oscar caliber, performances. But ones we kind of want to also kind of point out with there. So we're going to go through this. Let's start with Best Supporting Actor right now. I'm going to go through the names that are actually nominated for this, and we'll kind of just give our thoughts on this. So the first we have for Best Supporting Actors, we have Mahershala Ali, Adam Driver, Sam Elliott, Richard E. Grant, and Sam Rockwell. So what do you guys think about this? I mean, I definitely know there are some names we would like to see in here and in other places, but what do you guys think of the people that are already nominated for this?
It's cool. Best Supporting and then Best Actor are two specific categories that I'm just like, I mean, it's cool. Like, I really don't have any emotional stake to it. This is my, me personally. I can go on and on about people who I thought should have gotten nominated, but yeah, overall, I'm like, okay.
So I didn't say this out loud because I'm not trying to have the internet cancel me, but I personally thought that Adam Driver was the best part of Black Klansman. I know that's sacrilegious. So I was not upset with the nomination. But at the same time, I kind of feel like Black Klansman was only really nominated for stuff because they had a really good PR campaign.
Agree with Shanna also. Let me just add that. Aren't me and Ro already on wax on how we feel about Black Klansman?
Yeah, I think for the first one we did this, yeah.
Yeah, we are ready. If people are getting canceled, Shanna, we going to be canceled first. It's okay.
Yeah, we have thoughts. Please rewind that back if you want. We have thoughts.
I want to, Joy, I was like, I don't even know. Joy, who did you think should be nominated? I'm not letting you out of that. That was
Oh, no, we're going back. We're going to come back to the snubs. After we discuss who's actually in the category. We got snubs before we move on to the next category. Trust me.
Okay, because I was about to be mad if we get to skip around.
No. Because yeah. I think this is the Best Supporting Actor one. I feel like there's going to be a several people that we think we could probably sweat twitching it out with this. Tim, what were you going to say?
I was going to say I agree. I think that having watched Black Klansman multiple times, I think Adam Driver was the best part in the film to me. So he's probably the person I'm looking at in this list. Everyone else was cool, but I think definitely Adam Driver, right. At least for me.
Yeah. I don't think he has a chance of winning, but like I like Richard D. Grant Can You Ever Forgive Me? I liked him in that movie. But I'm still shocked to see him get the nod over some other performance we saw this year. Let's be honest, out of this list, does anybody think that anybody other than Mahershala is gonna take it?
No.
Like I think that's the problem with this category, particularly Best Supporting Actor this year, is with the names that are nominated, Mahershala wins easily. Like it's not even really close. Because go ahead.
Everybody else is being nominated off like a few scenes in their movie where they were just really great, and they're like, oh yeah, that's strong enough, you know. But Mahershala Ali was the movie. I mean, we've already discussed that his presence shifted the entire dominant paradigm around the movie. So yeah, I liked Adam Driver, but I can take or leave him in Black Klansman, but that's mostly because I can take or leave major parts of Black Klansman. I thought Sam Elliott as A Star Is Born was great, but I personally feel that they're nominating him for A Star Is Born because they ignored him in The Hero last year.
Yes.
Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me? I absolutely can see it, and I would have been dismayed if he hadn't been nominated. And Sam Rockwell was good, but I think people are just kind of hanging on his jock a little too tight.
Well, I mean,
they do love Sam Rockwell. They love
Sam Rockwell.
Not to
because they ignored him and for years. It's because they ignored him for years.
I was gonna say, but like, there's a lot to love about Sam Rockwell. He's a fantastic actor. Don't get me wrong, but I agree with Ro. The amount of time that he was on screen, though his W is fantastic in Vice, I did not understand the nomination, but I was like, all right, cool, whatever.
Well, it's one of those weird things. I guess we kind of, for this one's probably the one we get to snub as fastest on, because I feel like there were so many other names that could have been mentioned here. And so when I look at this list, Mahershala is the one that stands out to me, because it's the one that, to me, has the most memorable performance out of everybody. I saw the Richard E. Grant. Like, I really am glad that Richard E. Grant got his nomination, because I really did. He was fantastic in that movie. I'm actually glad that him got in there. And when we get into Best Actress, I'm really glad Melissa McCarthy got her nomination there as well. But like, Sam Rockwell, I mean, we're gonna be honest, he was great. He wasn't even the best supporting actor in the film, though. That should have been Steve Carell.
Oh my God, Steve Carell?
It should have been Steve Carell. It should have been Steve Carell.
Like, Steve Carell.
Steve Carell.
Yeah, Donald Rumsfeld was really good.
He was. I mean, everybody who played a role in Vice played the role well. I mean, he'd even say it, but even fucking Tyler Perry, right? But if we're gonna go off of screen time and impact in the movie, Steve Carell is there. Like, he was there. He's the one that he interacted. Like, he had way more scenes. He was like his Donald Rumsfeld was so annoyingly perfect. Like, I hated his character so much, because it was like he played it like comedy, but that was also how Donald Rumsfeld was in real life. And I'm wondering if maybe people forgot how Donald Rumsfeld acted in real life, so they didn't understand just how perfect that role was. And I think that happened a lot in Vice, because I'm like,
oh no, I think they readily know exactly how good he was, and they would like people to forget exactly how much bullshit we put up with from Donald Rumsfeld. I think he's being I think he's being ignored for literal political reasons. But I mean, that's just how I felt. I was like, I don't see, if you're gonna have Vice was one of those movies where I expected to see people across multiple categories the way you saw them find ways to get everybody in the favorite nominated. I think I would have been a little less pressed if I had seen more people from Vice pop up under supporting actors.
Yeah. So what are some other snubs you guys think for this category? I know there are several obvious ones that should be in here.
I'm going to say, every single time people ask me who was snubbed at the Oscars, I'm going to say Blindspotting. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Raphael played that part.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand how he played that part. And it was perfect, because it is a little bit of him, but then also just white guys who grew up in the Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would also say, so yes, Raphael. And what's crazy that Raphael has, he had, like, if you showed the clip, At the live event, this clip when he's doing the arguing for the boat, that's the clip. Like, that is absolutely the Oscar clip that you play at the awards if you got nominated. But my two were Russell Hornsby
Thank you.
That man, and I had my issues with The Hate U Give, primarily because of its casting of Amanda Stanberg. I thought she was miscast. I think I've said this more than once. But Russell Hornsby. Yeah, no, but it's true. But Russell Hornsby was fantastic, and like, he always has been able to act his ass off, but like, had me crying in tears when he was teaching his kids like the Black Panther points. I was like, okay, this is, I love this whole performance. My other one is another dark horse, Brian Tyree Henry in If Beale Street Could Talk.
Why are you reading my mind?
Henry, why, in anything?
Why are you reading my mind? Those are literally my two.
Yeah, she saw my. Yeah, those are my two as well.
Oh, are we about to have a collective consensus of who we are sad is not here, because they're on my list top two.
Yeah,
I feel like Brian Tyree Henry should get an award for appearing in a room at any point. Yep. He is so amazing.
1,000% agree. Like, I make it very clear that my life and everything that I represent is a Brian Tyree Henry stand account. Like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love him to death. He's so talented. But him and If Beale Street Could Talk in particular had me physically weeping in his little 10 minutes soliloquy talking about his experience being, oh my God, I can't. Like, How did y'all miss that? That was, should have absolutely gotten nominated.
And when you look at the other people nominated, some of the other people nominated, like when I look at like a Sam Rockwell, it's like you obviously weren't that concerned about screen time, because I really don't think Sam Rockwell's on screen that much as George W. Bush in Vice. So I don't understand, even if you're going like Brian Howery Henry wasn't, you know, in the film that long for If Bill Street Could Talk, he clearly had an impact, and what he said like really kind of shapes the narrative of that film from another character's positions.
They've completely destroyed the ability to say that screen time matters after Viola Davis gets nominated for literally one scene.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Oh, and Doubt. Absolutely.
And Doubt, absolutely. Yeah.
So there's...
And also...
There's, like, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go.
I was just going to say, Lightweight, I also would have nominated Brian Tyree Henry for doing the voice in Spider-Man.
Well, he had a great year because he was also in Widows.
Yeah, Widows. Oh my God, I would have given him Widows.
I forgot about
Daniel Kaluuya. Should be nominated for Widows after traumatizing the entire world. Oh, and making Kaluuya us never want to go bowling again.
It should have been his Oscar.
But either that or the one, the rapping one. Either that or the rapping one.
Yeah, no, the rapping scene.
Yeah, the rapping scene. He's used to rappers. And I'm just like, hey, come on, bro. And then he tortures the dude in a wheel.
Can I not lie and say I really want his version of who he is at the rap scene to exist? I was like, just do that. You stand at the side of Cyphers and solve all our rap hip hop problems.
Yeah. Like,
in shoot the losers?
Yo, Tim is alarmed. He's like, oh no.
Everybody's game would immediately be up. We'd never get a bad 16 again.
Yeah. I mean, those four right there. I mean, and again, I've seen the calls for, and I wouldn't, if you're going to nominate it for Best Picture, I wouldn't have been upset about Michael B. Jordan for Best Supporting for Killmonger. But honestly, when I look at some of the other names that could have been in there, I wouldn't have been upset, but over some of these other names I saw that probably should have been nominated, I would have kind of still been looking at it like, come on, guys.
Really should actually have been. Honestly, I could have been a little bit okay with that, because it's still an atypical Black man that was on screen and played well and had deep impact from beginning to end of his movie. And I do believe that him not even being mentioned is more of a disrespect than people felt that if the movie hadn't been in the best film category. I was more upset about the non-inclusion of individual nominations. So I could have been very okay with seeing Michael B. Jordan for his Killmonger.
I mean, there are worse people who have gotten nominated. We'll get to those categories. So if we're basing it like when you let trash in, you know, when you do clownery, in the words of Moby,
garbage in, garbage out.
The clown comes back to bite. So if we're gonna be based on that, sure, fuck it, let him be nominated.
Well, that goes back to my old Bohemian Rhapsody thing. It's like, once that film got nominated, I'm like, guys, we don't really give a shit about anything right now. Okay, cool. We can just go do that. Anybody else?
I like Bohemian Rhapsody. Just gonna put that out there.
No, I liked it too,
but it shouldn't be here.
Yeah, it's good enough, but it's good enough off of the strength of the main actor, and it's not a Best Picture. It really, really fucking isn't. But again, like if that gets in, well then everything's open. And I'm wondering where they fall in here. I don't think I really would have liked to see more nods for A Quiet Place. And I don't know where think John Krasinski would have. Does he count as a lead, or would he have been a best supporting actor in that?
I thought they also made it a supporting actor.
Okay, he's supporting.
Didn't they also made it supporting though? I thought I read that somewhere.
They might have.
I think so.
Let me
double check that.
I really liked that film just because like it required so much emotion being displayed on screen without the characters talking. And, you know, I thought that, you know, and I get it, you know, it's a horror film and horror films don't always get the recognition they deserve and stuff like that. But that's a film that I really, really thought that I would have loved to see a little bit more individual nominations, especially in the best supporting category. there.
I just feel like if he was going to submit, he should have submitted as lead actor. Like, he drives that film.
So I just found an article that said that Paramount had planned to submit the entire cast as supporting.
Okay.
Well, to be fair, though, so two things. Like, I hear what you're saying, Chris, but after Get Out 1, I think, why are we still having this conversation? Even though I don't watch horror films, like, I'm too much of a scaredy cat, I do think, like, why are we still having this discussion about whether or not this genre in particular should or should not be nominated? I think that's kind of BS. I know that that's not what you're saying, but, like, in general, it is bullshit. But the other thing is that same argument can be made for, like, Mahershala, who I felt should have probably been in the best actor category versus best supporting actor. That's my personal opinion. But, you know, you got to get in with how you fit in. Same thing with Viola last year, or I think it was the year before, when she was best supporting in Fences. And I was like, why? She should have been best actress. But some people play the game in terms of where they submit and based on what is the trajectory of films that are going to get nominated so that they can guarantee them getting the goal.
Plus, those synopses are a pain in the ass. I mean, you know, when the story, as they submit their synopsis, highlights one person, that this is their story, at that point, anybody else who's in the movie is almost naturally falling into supporting category. And because we don't have a best ensemble, you have to do things like they did with A Quiet Place. You either sacrifice the leading category and say everybody in the movie was equal, so they're all supporting each other, so we're putting everybody in as best supporting. Plus, this is our best chance for y'all not to disrespect our fucking movie because it's a horror movie. Or you have to start, you know, tit for tat and saying, okay, we're going to say this person was a star versus this other person was a star. And then you start messing with people's money. And so, you know, that's when you start getting into the politics behind the screen. And that's a whole other nasty problem that ends up seeing people disrespected come award season.
Right. And before we move on to best supporting, just to piggyback on what you were saying, Joy. Yeah, it's not that we shouldn't be having the conversation about horror films anymore. But to go back to Get Out, I think this was a conversation we were having last year, which is, I don't think white people saw Get Out as a horror film. And so because of that, I think that's also kind of how it got the recognition it did. Now, we as black people go, oh, it definitely was a fucking horror film. Like, there's no doubt about that shit. It's a fucking horror film. I think they saw more as a comedy or like a thriller.
It was submitted as comedy.
Well, that was for that was for the Golden Globes, and we know the Golden Globes are kind of weird. It's either you submit either comedy or drama. So, like, I don't count the Golden Globe submission. I just think in general, I don't think they saw Get Out as the horror film the traditional horror film that we see it as. Like, to me, it's black horror. Period. Point blank. There's some funny moments in it, but like it's not even like a horror comedy. It's a horror film, you know? But I don't think they saw it that way. And I think this is this weird thing where, you know, with A Quiet Place, it's like a traditionally horror film with monsters and things like that. And it goes back to this whole thing. We shouldn't be having these conversations now, but we still are because of just politics and how people view things and how the Academy set up. It's all bullshit. All right.
Joy, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't watch horror films. Are you going to go watch Brian Tyree Henry and Child's Play?
Man, I'm struggling. I'm struggling so hard. I'm struggling so fucking hard because I watched it and I was... I saw the trailer and I was like, ooh, damn it. They know how to get me. But at the same token, I'm probably going to be watching it from like through my eyes. So I saw Get Out twice. And the first time, when I first saw the trailers for it, I was like, oh, I'm not seeing this shit. Not because of who directed it or the film itself. I was just like, oh, I don't do horror films at all. I have not seen A Quiet Place. I have not seen her. I just can't do horror at all. It's always been the one genre I won't do. The first time I saw it, half of the movie, my eyes were literally like, I was peeking through my fingers throughout Get Out. And then after I saw it, I was able to see it again and confidently watch it. So with Child's Play, I do not know what I'm going to do. I feel tormented.
That's hilarious. Okay. All right. So, best supporting actress, we had Amy Adams, Marina D. How do you say her last name? Anybody know? Tavira?
No, don't know.
Is that the woman from Roma?
Yes.
Yeah.
The best supporting from Roma. Regina King. Regina King, Emma Stone, and Rachel Weisz. What do you guys think about these nominations?
I mean, Regina's gonna win, so.
I mean, yeah. Again, like, I feel like, yeah.
Like,
you really think
I
so?
I feel
you
bad,
really
so? Though, if Regina does win, because honestly, I thought Rachel Weisz was brilliant in The Favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think.
I don't disagree.
I think it comes down to those two. I think, well, actually.
I don't know. Amy Adams was ridiculous in Vice. I mean, she
put a character. She was.
This category, I truly have no issue with who's nominated. I'm sad they couldn't nominate more people so it could really have been a big, huge pit fight. What? But Amy Adams delivered Shakespearean lines so well that people didn't realize she was quoting Shakespeare. They're like, what is this random scene? I'm like, bitch, it's Shakespeare. What's wrong with you? But she was like, she took a character that a lot of people did not know about and made a whole new villainous for people in real life, for them to have this come to Jesus understanding of, like, you know, the National Endowment of the Arts got jacked up. Oh, wait, that was Cheney. Right. You know, she was brilliant from the beginning of the end of that movie. And, like, you know, telling him, you know, I'm not wasting any more time on you. I mean, you just have flashes of different moments that they could play for her reel for the award shows. And I love Regina King. I thought she was brilliant in Beale Street. I would be ecstatic if she won. You know what? You have butchered Marina's last name that now I can't say it, and I could have.
I asked you what it was, and you didn't say it. I asked you what it was, and you didn't. You left me out there like that.
Bad. I do believe her name is Marina Tovera. And she was brilliant in Roma, but I don't know whether or not people got enough of the narrative emotional connection to that movie in order for it to carry forward, because, you know, given who's voting and given conversations I've heard with people who have the ability to vote, they didn't get Roma, and they all knee-jerk down to, oh, it was really pretty. Yeah, I guess, you know, if you're going to do a day in a life story, it works. I don't know whether or not they got the individual connection enough for Marina de Tovia to win.
But that's weird to me that she ended up getting nominated. Like, her and Yalitza. That's why I'm very, very shocked that both of them got those nominations, because I was worried about the same thing. But then I saw the nominations across the board for Roma. I was like, well, maybe people did? Or were they just on some, we gotta nominate somebody?
I mean, come on. There are people who came out this movie so early saying how much they loved it, they loved it, they loved it. But there are other people who I know for a fact will be voting who are angry that Roma is getting anything, because they don't believe that it should have been allowed to submit, because it did a boxed for your consideration screening in the theaters and it wasn't a quote unquote legit. So they're like, well, it should be at the Emmys because it's on a streaming service. So
yep. I met a lot of people like that in our Critics Association.
Are you
we had
serious?
A whole conversation about that.
That
I'm dead ass
really?
Serious.
Wow.
Dead ass serious.
Yeah. Wow.
So a lot of people I don't get it either. I felt like it was perfectly fine how they did their run. Well, but, yeah, you know, why don't you go ahead and tell us the secrets of what happened at your conversation at your credit circle? I mean,
it's as we all know, this is where we're headed. And
right. The
pushback against, like, stuff that's streaming is really odd to me.
Well, it's funny because we were just Joy and I were just talking about this yesterday on the Insanity Check about Sundance and some of the streaming services that were picking up films at Sundance. It's like, if you guys don't want these films I think there's just misconception about what these films do. It's like, if you wanted Roma in a theater, then the studio should have picked up, put it in the theater, because it's an Oscar quality theater quality film. It's not like it's like a there's no fucking difference. That's the thing that bothers me when I hear people complain about this. There's no difference between seeing Roma in the theater and seeing Roma at home. It's just who distributes the film and who put the money out to distribute it. Netflix said, we'll do it. Nobody else stood up and put the money out for it. Like,
and then when they put up the money for it to have a four-year consideration run, I don't really think you get to start splitting hairs over how people do the four-year consideration. Like, oh, it wasn't a legitimate one. You know, they four-boxed it. I was like, they four-boxed Cold War. I'm like, At Eternity's End was $4. I was like, they bought those rooms out. What are you talking about? You know, they put them in some art houses and they pressed the run and then they circled back around. I was like, even Vox Lux got $4, especially in San Diego.
But the thing that gets me about it is we all, and most of us who are voting on, or not, I'm assuming the people that are voting for the Oscars too are the same way we do in our Film Critic Association. Motherfucker, we're watching them at home. They're sending us the this. Dog. So you're watching. You're watching it at home yourself. How are you then getting mad if it's a streaming service that gets out to the like? What are we doing,
dude? And Chris, you know this too. Here's the thing: it happens at a crazy time of the year, right? It's the holiday season.
Right.
People are off work, on vacation. It's all these big movies that are showing up in December and October and November, and then all these screeners that come to your house. You don't have time to go to the theater, so you end up watching them at home.
So I will say this: I'm not in a Critics Association, so I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to is festival experience, where a lot of the films that go on through the award circuit, in the next year, comes from these festivals, specifically Sundance. Majority of the films that got bought were coming from streaming services. Like the most, the largest acquisition of a film that has ever happened in the history of Sundance happened at this Sundance. It was for $13 million. It was for a comedy called Late Night that was starring and written by Mindy Kaling. And Amazon Studios bought it for $13 million. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. And so majority of the films got either bought out by HBO, Netflix, or Amazon Studios making really big plays for other films, or smaller indie quote-unquote distributors like A24 and Neon. Apple also bought a movie too called Hala, which is a great Muslim coming-of-age film. So if majority of our festival circuit is done by smaller indie distributors or streaming services, that is what our Oscars and our BAFTAs and our Golden Globes and our SAG Awards are going to look like in 2020.
I didn't mean to derail our discussion about the best supporting actors, it drives me fucking insane that we're
still. But I think I think a lot of it has to do with who we saw for best supporting, though. I think it's why they thought they could get away with giving three spots to the favorite or two spots to the favorite. They disrespected a shit ton of movies, particularly. And specifically for these reasons, like they're getting short runs and then everybody's going to drop them on Netflix, or they're going to go VOD, or they're going to do a digital special, or they're going to do like a Bohemian Rhapsody and then do a larger nationwide release and shove this movie down people's throats. So I don't think it's an illegitimate conversation, since the people who get disrespected most as a result of this are usually supporting actresses.
Yeah. Like, well, we talked about this when we did. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Tim.
No. I said I was disagreeing. Like, she's right.
Yeah. Let's go back to what we were talking when we did our review for the favorite. I like Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz, but I had Emma Stone as either Rachel as best supporting or Emma as best supporting, and then I've had the other one in lead. I like Olivia Colman, but like, I still think she was overshadowed by the other two. She did a good job to be in between, but like, and so when you put both. You know, what I consider your lead and your best supporting in the best supporting categories, and you're taking up two spots, it's almost like cheating, because then, and again, I'm not upset at any of the names that are in this best supporting actress category, but I really did feel like the best supporting actress category this year was probably the most competitive, because there are so many other names that could have gotten in here in so many other different ways. And it's just tough to narrow it down to five, because all five of these ladies did phenomenal jobs.
I think that's been the issue with the best supporting actress category for at least the past decade. Is so, first of all, women don't get a lot of opportunities to shine in these Oscar movies, because usually it is like a male lead and then a female supporting actress. So, or you have a movie like this where it's like a bunch of really strong female performances, so then there's a ton for the supporting actress. I feel like women have been doing an amazing job of being supporting actresses. And then you have a stacked category where literally anyone can win.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it a buck. I think the women dominated just the box office in terms of quality films in general across genres. They acted circles around the men the whole fucking year. Mm-hmm. That's why, and we're going to get into best actor, like the best actor category, the best supporting actor category. They kind of dry to me, to be honest.
Yeah,
like best actress, best supporting, there's a fight. There is a legitimate fight where you could, no matter how you splice it, you can argue every last woman that's in those categories on why they should win.
Oh, absolutely.
And it would be valid.
Yeah. Yeah, because like I said, when I watched The Favorite, and again, I'm not in those types of films are not the films that kind of stand out to me, but I love that movie. I thought for the longest time that Emma Stone was the lead and that Rachel Weisz was the best supporting. that was it. And then when it came out and it was like, Olivia Colman is the lead actress, I'm like, oh, I mean, and I remember we had the conversation in row about why. Yeah. And I get it. Like, your logic is solid. But in my mind, I'm still going like, I'll be okay. But like, when we get to Oscar time, they're not going to do that, right? And they clearly did that. And I was like,
but see, it's the smart play. It's get some. It's the smart play. And I thought it was. But again, you know how I feel about this. All these people we're talking about should all be under Best Ensemble.
Yes. So, but there you go.
But it's truly the smart play. Like, if you have a character that's whole job is for everyone else to pivot around them in a farce,
mm-hmm.
and they hold the center, you absolutely nominate that person.
Yeah.
But you can't not nominate the people who are revolving around them and really doing the work and the action and shining and like making everything drive forward. So I thought that the way they did it was the smartest thing ever. It just pisses me off because, you know, there's so many, I don't know. At this point, I was like, can we just get rid of a category for like a lead and just expand a supporting actress so we can really have a boss fight?
Well, because
I mean,
well, the ensemble thing works because, like I said, like the way you to me, if Rachel Weisz wins, I'm then like, well, then don't you technically have to then give Olivia Colman the best lead actress? Because it's like, to me, it's a package deal. Like, the Rachel Weisz's performance doesn't work without Emma Stone, who doesn't work, and neither one of them work with Olivia Colman. It's like, it's a package deal. So it goes back to your argument that there really should be a best ensemble cast, which I 100% believe in, because it really, right. And that would clear up so many of these best supporting and lead actor positions so much, to give other people, at least at the very least, nominated in here, because there were some really great ensemble performances this year out there. One of the, and I don't want to call, because again, with this best supporting actors category being so like competitive and every one of these ladies deserving to be here, I don't want to say that these are people I think were snubbed, but there are people I wish, like, if the category is longer, I wish could have gotten some nominations here. And I think we mentioned this in our review. Elizabeth Debicki for The Widows.
Widows.
Widows, yeah. Justice for Widows, dog. Like, Widows got shafted throughout the whole entire award season, mm-hmm. and I'm still tight.
Yeah.
I'm still tight.
Yeah. But Elizabeth
Debicki, I mean, I know some people who act like the Russian girl, I'm like, you know, she's not really Russian, right? She put it down so hard, people are ready to change her complete cultural background. She's amazing. And yeah. Like, let's be real. I don't know, so many people would just be smacking a black woman dead ass in their face and people like, she should win an award.
Yeah. Yo, that performance, like, the fucking performance is great. It was just fantastic, you know?
Yeah. Tessa Thompson should be talking about for Sorry Bobby, but she's not being.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
And for Creed 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would more for Creed 2 than for Sorry to Bother You. While I liked her in Sorry to Bother You, Avi. Yeah, I don't know about supporting actress for that one.
Does anybody feel that Sorry to Bother You should have gotten nominated in general?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, there's still a couple Best Picture slots, isn't there? I'm so confused.
Well, yeah,
you can go up to 10, and I feel like this year they didn't use the full breadth of the options that they had.
What I'm gonna do for the next one, when we do talk about Best Picture, I'm gonna make sure I go through and find the thing on how the voting takes place, because
you keep promising us.
I know I got so much other shit going on, guys. But no, it's the way the voting happens. So it's like, it comes down. It's a weird math, so that there's a way so you don't have to fill all 10 of the spots. If it's just really fucking weird and it's stupid, but yeah, there are two extra spots that could have obviously been filled because Bill Street should have been there. I'm gonna keep on my A Quiet Place trip and say that, you know,
A Quiet Place should have been there.
Well, no, why am I? I'm not even talking about for Best Picture. I'm talking about Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Best Supporting, because like she was fantastic in there. Like that scene with. She's trying to give birth. Like, I'm sorry. I am an Emily Blunt stan.
Same.
I have been.
I don't care what she's doing. I'm watching it.
Right, right. It's like, oh wait, you got Emily Blunt in there. So we gonna do that. All right.
I don't even know descriptions at that point. My friends would think it's hilarious. They're like, really, Rhonda? I'm like, Emily Blunt's in it. We're going. Shut up and get in the car.
Right.
Or you don't know me.
Yo, I mean, all Tyler Perry got to do to get me. Yeah, all Tyler Perry got to do me is cast Emily Blunt as something in his movies. I'm there. I was like, oh fuck. So I gotta watch this shit now.
I'm mad at you right now. Right. I'm so mad at you. But I'm right. But to speak to Shanna's point before we move on, the reason why I said Tessa Thompson for Sorry to Bother You is because her entire character and the way she played it deconstructed this whole Manny Pixie Dream Curl kind of shit. It actually started a whole conversation off about that and what that is and why what she was doing was not that. And anytime a character who's supposed to simply be, and this is for lack of a better word, for color in a movie, manages to pull some kind of depth, I'm watching that. I'm now watching that character. And Sorry to Bother You, I paid more attention to Tessa Thompson than I did almost anybody else in the movie, but definitely for Creed too. But yeah, just
yeah,
just
that I totally understand. I get that.
I have one more. But we're gonna see if anybody else. Go ahead.
I have one more. My dark horse was Blake Lively in A Simple Favor.
Oh, I forgot about that movie.
Okay, I can give you that one.
I thought she was great.
But what I loved about it is, and I was telling my friend this, it's the type of woman we rarely see depicted in film. Like, she was like a complete badass, like handled her shit, you know, from beginning to end. She was, you know, elusive and sneaky and attractive and strong. It's all these different things she was in this character. And I loved it. She was the best part of the movie for me.
She was a pure unadulterated bitch, and I swear to God, I want to be here when I grow up and have her wardrobe.
I completely forgot about that movie, but I love that movie.
She was fantastic. Yeah. She was fantastic in that movie. How did you forget about that movie, Chris?
We watched a lot of movies this year. We watched. give me some credit.
Yeah, I'm looking back at my calendar, going, I saw it when I was looking through Amazon Prime Video
the other day. I was like, oh, like what can I watch or whatever, and that popped up, and I was just like, why haven't I watched this movie at least three more times since the last time I saw it? It was so good. So, and unexpected, too. I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't what I saw. And it was great.
I'm just saying this now for everybody. Do not ever read the book. This movie managed to do what that book failed to do, which was make you connect with two highly unlikable characters and find somebody to root for. Just don't ever, ever read the book. Just watch this movie. This movie is hands down. And I am saying this.
Because I got a little nervous when you said that. I was like,
than its book.
I hated everybody in this book.
Hated them.
Because I love this movie. We reviewed this, I think, before we got you started doing reviews with it. So I was almost like, oh, did she not like this movie? Oh my God, I'm going to have to kick a row out of our review circle. I'm like, oh, because I know you in books. I'm like, you about to say the book is way better. I'm like, and you were like, oh no, don't read the book. I'm like, oh, shit, okay. So, and I mentioned it before, I think when we did, when we were talking about black actresses. And again, I totally understand why she didn't get the nomination here. And again, I think this is where also the best ensemble cast comes in at. Cynthia Erivo from Bad Times, because I think that entire
hard agree on this side.
Yeah,
that I stand all day.
I mean, that scene where she's singing as what's his name is trying to work in the, like, it's just so good. It's such a good movie, and there's so many great performances in that film. Yeah, because I think even isn't like was it like Dakota Johnson from like 50 Shades of Grey in that movie, and I didn't even recognize her because, like, she's not annoying the shit out of me.
That was a redeeming role for me, because I've seen the first 50 Shades of Grey, and yeah,
she proved she could act. I think I watched the 15 minute snippets of the first 50 Shades, and then somebody tried to get me on the hook to review the other ones, and I said, if you don't want me to hate review, then you should assign this to someone else because I hate what people say. But yeah, I agree with you. She completely, I was like, oh, she can act. Oh, she's interesting. Oh, that movie, that poor thing. She has to keep that on her resume forever.
All right, cool. Moving on to.
I had one more. Millie Shapiro from Hereditary. That little girl, that creepy ass little girl with that click.
Okay, yeah.
That click.
Ugh. Yeah, man, she got me. That she's so fucking creepy. And she was. Yeah, I don't know why no one's talking about Miss Millie. I don't know why no one's talking about her Charlie from Hereditary.
Mm, yeah, you're right.
Well, we know why. It's a damn horror movie, but she was brilliant. If we're talking about actresses supporting role, she's another true testament and reason why this category needs to be expanded, because she was amazing and creepy as hell.
How old is she? I'm also wondering this thing is, like, I haven't done my research on the history of this. What's the history on the Academy giving best actress or best supporting to kids?
I think the youngest kid that ever got an Oscar for her acting was, she was like 11.
Wasn't it Saoirse? Did Saoirse get it when she was in that movie with Keira Knightley? I feel like she was nominated. I just remember a very young Saoirse Ronan.
I just realized she was
Academy Award.
I just realized, because I'm probably watching, I just realized she was in Hannah. And
she was Hannah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was like, I fucking hate.
So the youngest Oscar winner is Tatum O'Neill. She won at 10, and she won for Paper Moon.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, I feel like it's 16. Actually pretty common for young women to get the supporting actress.
Okay. Yeah, Millie's 16, so they can't use that as an excuse.
Right.
So this is more horror movie
disrespect. All right, let's move on to best lead actors. So we have Christian Bale, Bradley Cooper, Willem Dafoe, Rami Malek, and Viggo Mortensen. Thoughts?
Viggo shouldn't be here.
Yeah,
Viggo shouldn't be there.
Absolutely.
No. I mean, honestly, Green Book should not be anywhere, really, if we're being just completely upfront.
Look, I told you, the only thing that should be being talked about from Green Book is Mahershala Ali. And I firmly agree. It's like, I didn't necessarily, the movie fell off the rails for me, but I am kind of annoyed that people aren't talking about Ethan Hawke from First Reformed. And just because, you know, if you're going to talk about stereotypical characters and stereotypical directives that usually end up getting talked about at award season, I'm deeply confused as to why no one is having the Ethan Hawke First Reformed conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, he was good in that. I'm surprised his name didn't pop up in there.
So I have I'm gonna get in trouble for this.
Uh-oh.
I honestly, out of this category, think the hands down winner should be Christian Bale without any any competition. Mm-hmm. Because listen,
why are you getting in trouble?
Because I think Rami did a great job with the movie it was supposed to be, but somebody else put this. I can't remember exactly the words were said on Twitter. But it was pretty much like all he did was basically lip sync with a bad whatever they did with his mouth, because it's like they overdid it, and so it was driving me fucking insane the entire film. And like, it's a good solid performance, but like, he shouldn't come. It's not even close to coming to Christian Bale. He's gonna win though.
Did you
he's gonna win.
I will be pissed if he wins. Did you see it at a turn? Did anybody else see at a turn in Beast Gate?
No.
Okay.
Oh, with
okay.
Willem Dafoe?
Willem Dafoe's Van Gogh is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, I got the fuck up at 10 o'clock in the morning, left my house, and I'm not mad at the end of the movie. He was brilliant in there. I mean, the way they managed to, it's an art movie. Art house picture done through the lens of an artist's eye. There's a lot of problems
he's great.
Over and above the fact he's the wrong age to play Vincent Van Gogh, he was brilliant.
Yeah, no.
And I don't understand. And I think the competition in this category is between Christian Bale, Bradley Cooper, and Willem Dafoe. I think the last two people in this category shouldn't be here.
Yeah,
they shouldn't be here.
I thought Rami, this is the thing. You can't not nominate Rami, because that movie hinges on his performance, and his performance was good. So
but
you
that
can't
doesn't make it lead actor.
Him.
Yes, the fuck you can. They do it all the damn time. The black people can do it to Rami too.
I mean, like, that's my thing. It's just like, if we're talking about like that movie hinges on that performance, and that performance was good. So I can see why you're like, If you don't nominate him, it's definitely a snub. Now, Christian Bale, and he's known to do this, but Christian Bale became Dick Cheney.
I think he might have waterboarded some Iraqis, y'all.
Yeah, I want to know exactly how method he got.
His birthday the same birthday as Dick Cheney's.
I found that out, I was like, you gotta be fucking.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. In real life, they share the same exact birthday.
Because when somebody on, they did a Twitter joint, they did a happy birthday to Christian Bale and Dick Cheney, and they used a picture of Christian Bale from Vice. So like it was Dick Cheney and Dick Cheney.
I was deeply traumatized at that point in my day, but I'm sorry. It's like, look, I like Remy. He was the best thing about Bohemian Rhapsody. He stepped his game up. He further proved his skill set. That does not mean that I should be talking about him for an Oscar.
The movie shouldn't have been nominated. But I think here's one other thing too, Ephron. Right. Even if you give him the performance he does, it's fine. His on-screen chemistry with the isn't that his girlfriend in real life too? Their chemistry in the film was horrendous. And so like when that
but it was supposed to be.
But no, they're supposed to still have kind of chemistry. Like even like friendship chemistry wasn't there. Like you gotta have chemistry, whether it's romantic or not, there needs to be chemistry between like the people on screen. It just felt like he was playing in a different movie than everybody else in that film.
He was.
And so, again, if you nominate, it's one of those, if you're going to nominate Bohemian Rhapsody, you got to nominate him. But I'm with you. I think in the names that were nominated, he's in my bottom two.
Can I be honest? Like, I struggle, and this is, you know, us being biased again or whatever. Like, I just struggle with him being in the category in general, just based on how the entire cast has treated this Bryan Singer situation. I'm gonna be truthful, it makes it hard for me to root for him or anybody involved in the film. You understand what I'm saying? Like I've struggled with this. I genuinely have struggled with this.
Yeah. I mean, he's come out now and said
any problems with a purge based on that alone. I don't.
I mean, he's come out now and said that he's had the issue and kind of been open about the issues he had with Bryan Singer. But at the same time, I kind of look at it like I believe the To me, like, even with that being true and the rest of the cast going like, oh, no, it's the other director's movie. It's not really Bryan Singer. Fuck Bryan Singer now. It's like, you all signed up for this movie when it was known that Bryan Singer was a pedophile.
Like, his name is still based on DGA rules. His name is still on the film. Right. So at the end of the day, if they walk away with Best Picture, guess who's still getting the acknowledgement? It's still going to be Bryan fucking Singer. Like, I don't. Yeah. How we lie? We can't lie about this. You know what I mean?
I look at everybody's side eye over here. Like, hey, glad you guys are now kind of distancing yourself from him. But like, and I feel for the issues you had with him on set. But like, not trying to victim blame here. But like, this is kind of what you get when you kind of sign up for a movie with a known pedophile. Like, I mean, by this point, by the time this film started getting made, I'm pretty sure remember when he was doing he got taken off of the Days of Future Past press tour back in 2011.
That's right, he did,
because of the first set of allegations that came out, and then they quietly brought him back like nothing happened. And it wasn't until I think it was Anthony Rapp and other people started saying again, no, Bryan Singer really did this shit, that they took him off again. Like, this has been known. And so I'm not using that to hold that against him in this film. I think they're more.
I will.
But I'm saying like, I don't blame people who do. Like, so anybody who does, valid. I'm not, because I think there are other reasons why I wouldn't give him the nod in this in nomination. Fine, but actually picking him, no. But I can't blame anybody. I think that's a valid. It's something we talked about before. Like, we all bring biases and our opinions to this stuff. And that's one of those ones that I don't think anybody can overlook. It's the same thing that happened with Casey Affleck when he got his nomination, and people were like, "Yo, this dude got nominated. Yo, he's been accused of sexual assault. Like, Fuck him.
He also shouldn't have won. It absolutely was Denzel's award to win. And that too.
Never shouldn't have won. He has two faces, two facial expressions. The best work he has done has been under a sheet. I don't know why people. I'm sorry.
I'm with you.
My bad. It's almost Pavlovian at this point when someone says Casey Affleck's name for me to lose my damn mind. But I'm not trying to disrespect what Rami Malek did in this movie. I think he did a great job. I thought it was really brilliant. It's just like, but a part of what I hold against him, Shanna, is the fact that for a movie that's supposed to be a biopic about a band, at the end of the day, the only person who held was Remy. And for me, the movie didn't hold. And that's not just because you tried to tell me that songs that happened in 1977 happened in 1980 because somebody can't do chronology. I mean, it's just... I have so much attitude. It's just, I just saw bigger and I saw better performances at the lead actor level, that if you're going to be telling me that this is all we get at the end of the year, you put Rami's clips up against Bradley Cooper's clips, if just the one where he's pulling down the damn garage door and it doesn't hold up.
Bradley Cooper actually sang. I'm sorry. Bradley Cooper actually sang, so we should definitely get a nod over Raymond's lips. It's bad lip singing. Yeah. Like, it was bad. It was bad lip singing.
Yeah. He creeped out Sam Elliott when he said he sent him the clips of him trying to like change the voice register so he could legitimately cast Sam as his brother. And he was using lines from old Sam Elliott movies. He's like, I'm going to ask you never to do that again. Like, I just felt like the depth of work and the effort that went in. Like, I think it has to be an as quality movie when we're talking about lead actor in a lead role. And if only you got is your actor in a lead role is the reason why people still talk about your movie, I don't really want to be talking about your movie come Oscar time. Right. And I'm okay with Bryan Singer never getting anything and not another dime because he's made a shit ton of money off this movie. So I'd be okay with him not getting a little statue for anything. And I think Remy's won the one he should have. And you should have seen my face when he won the Golden Globe. So,
yeah. So, but I definitely think Christian Bale is the actor to beat in this category. And maybe Willem Dafoe. Just Willem Dafoe is not getting any buzz off of him.
That's because they art house limited that movie and then cut half the run short. I was like, wait a minute, this is dead ass like a real art house film. But again, I also think that part of the reason why they're even nominating Willem Dafoe is because they've been disrespecting his ass for years. Yeah. When's the last time we talked about him? Shadow of the Vampire?
Yeah.
Like, that's the last time he did good work, and it's not. So there's a lot of problems with that Eternity's Gate, but Willem Dafoe is not one of them. So I was not surprised to see him nominated. But again, like I said, I was shocked not to see Ethan Hawke. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was shocked not to see anybody from Stan and Ollie. Hell, at this point, you know, the way people acting, I'm surprised we didn't see somebody from Sisters Brothers. Shit. So I just got really weird. It felt like the ones that got the big, huge marketing push were the ones who we saw. And
it's totally a marketing thing. Like, I'm gonna blame Green Book. I feel like, so my weird thing about this whole Oscar run is, first of all, it's become very obvious for anybody who pays attention that it is about who has the better marketing campaign and not necessarily who had the best performance or what movie was the most interesting or whatever. And then on top of it, the minute it starts, all of this shit starts coming out. And I'm just, did nobody, I honestly, I don't know if I would put my movie up for an award if the producer of the film was known to pull his penis out for fun.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, to be fair to Hollywood, then no films get put out. so in I'm not saying that you're wrong here. I'm just saying that in that case, almost no films get put out because goddamn men are terrible in Hollywood. The context of what we're talking about is Hollywood stuff, but in general, we're terrible in general, but particularly in Hollywood this year, it's just been like, damn, dude, really? When do you make a movie? Like, do you like direct a movie with your dick in your hand? Like, what are you doing? Like, no.
you know, trying to steer away from dick talk aside, since Ro put me on blast a little bit, I do think that there's another open conversation or open switch that you can have in terms of the timing of when your movie comes out. Because I think in particular, this has nothing to do with the category we're talking about, but I think in particular for like Sorry to Bother You and Blindspotting, funny enough, a lot of the films that I thought would get nominated got lost in the discussion after Sundance. Because a lot of the films that did get nominated premiered at like TIFF, which happens in the September timeframe, or Telluride that happens in like the late summer. Whereas Sundance is in January, you have a whole year to be considered top of mind. And if you have an X amount of A&M that you need to run through, your money gets short by the time the other festivals come through. So a lot of those films that premiered at Sundance in 2018 really disappeared from the discussion when it came time for nomination, which is unfortunate.
I'm wondering if that's going to make TIFF even more, because I've been keeping an eye on some of the things that premiere at TIFF, and I'm wondering if that's going to make TIFF more attractive to some of these films.
I think so, because I think in terms of the production, I don't know what the production costs are festival by festival, but TIFF year by year is getting larger, and their programming director, who I think just retired, Cameron Bailey, was really instrumental in getting more films of color, because he's a Black man, films of color not like getting them into the festival, because Moonlight premiered at TIFF, Hidden Figures premiered at TIFF. A lot of films, Beale Street premiered at TIFF of last year. So a lot of these big films that make, you know, go the distance, the reason why they're premiering later is because they're more top of mind. Because to your point earlier, we see a lot of fucking movies in the year. People forget, genuinely people just forget that these movies came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think we really have anybody, but does anybody have anybody that like is a snub for
I wouldn't call him a snub, but I wouldn't have hated if Stephon James got nominated for Beale Street.
That's the only name I had. Like, I can't think of any other than anybody you guys already mentioned. I can't think of any other lead actors that I would have put in the category this year, because like I said, I think it's really been all about the ladies when it comes to acting this year.
Go ahead. I'd agree with Stephon James. But the one thing and the one movie that I'm very surprised to not see anywhere is First Man. Not because I liked it, but because it's a very Oscar bait movie.
Yeah.
Damien Chazelle.
The movie was boring.
Oh my boring. God. I'm glad y'all said this. Like, I just want to, and I just saw that Brandon joined. I would like to say, did I not tell you, Chris, and did I not tell you, Brandon, at New York Comic Con, this movie is fucking boring. Like, it should not get any nominations. It's terrible. And then y'all said the review, and the first thing y'all said was, Joy warned us that this film was boring. Oh my God. It's so long.
But I'm with him. I'm like, I'm actually surprised they didn't nominate. Because it is that kind of Oscar boring almost film that they kind of, where it's like, it doesn't deserve to be here, shouldn't be here. But get here. I you know what I think it is? I think Bohemian Rhapsody took its place. Which.
Honestly, that's actually not a bad assumption, because I don't disagree with you at all, Tim. Like, my fear walking out was like, oh my God, this is boring as sin. This is going to get nominated. I was concerned because Ryan Gosling has like three faces in his entire life and in acting career. So I was very concerned that his boring face of him playing, and I can't remember his name. I'm blanking right now. I don't know why. But playing Neil the character Armstrong. That he was, Neil Armstrong, sorry. Playing the character that he was playing, I was like, oh, this is probably going to get nominated, because the Academy does have this weird love relationship with Damien Chazelle. So
yes.
I was concerned.
Also, I was going to say, it's their love of Damien Chazelle, this sort of white, up-and-coming artist who's this visionary. They love putting these dudes on a pedestal. So I thought for sure, just on that alone, it would get nominated.
I think he went too far into Oscar bait. Honestly, I think he overshot the mark.
Went so far, he bored
dip on his chip.
He bored everybody.
Like, the only part of that movie that meant anything to me at all was when they used the spoken word poem "Whitey's on the Moon" and they did that one pan. And I was like, oh, is that how y'all gonna acknowledge that Black people's getting fucked over during this time period? Okay, I see you. But that's all I remember about First Man. That and both Aldridge's, the guy who played him, actually being overtly brash and hilarious. The movie, I think they overshot the mark. I don't think it was a bad edit and ended up in a boring ass movie. But yeah, as you say, too much dip on his chip.
So before we move to best lead actress, I do want to say, just make a note, everyone, that at some point when we reconvene, we will do a whole entire show where we debate who has the worst face, set of faces, Casey Affleck or Ryan Gosling. So just prepare for
that. You know, you have to put that empty. You have to put that empty bag, Scarlett, whatchamacallit, Johansson up in there too, because she got three faces.
We'll do one for actors and actresses. So, all right, last one before we get out of here, best lead actresses. I'm gonna let Ro, can you say Ilitch's last name? Because I'm not gonna fuck it up.
Oh, so you want me to fuck it up? No, I can't say her last name.
Wait, you got on me about saying the last name wrong. Fuck.
Aparicio. Jesus, right. Mary. Aparicio. Aparicio.
Yeah. Glenn Close, Olivia Colman, Lady Gaga, and Melissa McCarthy.
He just started passing. He was just like, I don't want
to. Well, no, I asked her to say his name. Like, we went to the next name. Just like, that's what you can do it better than I could. I'm like,
yeah, fine. It's out there. Now we just go call her Yelitzia and save all of us trouble.
Yeah, justice for Yelitzia. Like, seriously, I'm very happy that she got nominated.
Yeah, and now have you
heard about what's happening in Mexico with her?
Yeah, they do not.
With the visa issues? I read that they were able to situate it. And
In terms of her. So basically, there's a Mexican version of the Oscars. And a ton of white Mexican actresses are protesting against her being nominated.
Yeah, it is bad. Like. Wasn't there like a leak? She's too indigenous. Yeah. Wasn't there like one of their famous like soap opera stars or something like that called like a fucking Indian or like really cussed her out or something like that and had to apologize? Yeah. It was pretty bad, straight up racist.
I was like, did y'all really go there? You got mad about? Yeah, I forgot about that.
Can I be honest though? I think that also might then elevate her also in this category. Unfortunately, here in the States, I think it will though. I mean, not saying that she needs
to. She did not ask her because they're all like the first indigenous woman to ever be nominated. She's getting that.
And I want to say, I don't think that she should.
I did not realize it was.
What?
Oh, it's a huge ass Mexican Oscar.
Yeah.
Actor.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize who it was who had said that. I can't believe y'all are honoring a effing Indian who says yes ma'am no ma'am.
Yeah it was a pretty
wow movie.
Oh, did I'm they sorry. Not see the movie
because I didn't realize
like more than that. I'm sorry, like did you watch the film?
No, or... they didn't. Well, I think this goes back to a lot of people.
They're just as touchy as we are about the fact that people don't like to pay attention to the brown folks till we talking about a domestic. So on the one hand, I could get he's mad that it took a movie centered around a stick before we're really having big buzz about a movie from out of Mexico. But on the other, damn Sergio, damn.
Yeah, it was very bad.
I hope his career is over.
It won't be.
I wasn't expecting that. Yeah, that vitriol came real quick.
What do you guys think about the other nominees? What do you guys think about the other nominees?
Yelitzia is the only one I really was focusing on. I still have not seen The Wife.
You should. Glenn Close is really good.
I know. I need to watch. It's on my list of things to do. Like, I genuinely want to see it. But I love Glenn Close as a human, so I'm like, I'm here for it. Who else? Was it Gaga? Who are the other two?
Olivia Colman and Melissa McCarthy.
And Melissa McCarthy.
Another powerhouse. Like, you can argue based on including Glenn Close, because I, again, have not seen the film. But you can argue all of them could make a play for it. I love Olivia Colman. I really love The Favorite as a movie in general. But I'm riding with my girl Yelitza for The Wheels Fall Off.
Yeah,
I want Yelitza to win. I'm not gonna lie, but I have a slight dilemma here because Melissa McCarthy was brilliant in Can You Ever Forgive Me? I had almost forgotten that this bitch could act until I saw that movie. She's put out so much trash and so much. Mid-level, why are you doing this? I know you need money, but stop listening to your husband movies. That I almost forgot that Melissa McCarthy has real chops. She was amazing in Can You Ever Forgive Me. But Glenn Close in The Wife, it was just so subtle and it's such fair. And it's a version of older women that we don't get. It's also a version of talking about how people dealt with having the glass ceiling in times of like where feminism wasn't just a dirty word, it was a joke. And she was brilliant, but I want to let her in.
Yeah. Yeah. She's
since we're all biased.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. I'm 100% biased on this one. Like, she does a great job in that film. And I'll be honest. I am not usually one of the people, like, I watch a lot of films that have subtitles in them, but like, it's not, when it comes to these kind of films and like drama films, I'm like, not my thing. Usually I'm watching subtitles with films that are like horror films or something like that. So, but I watched this and I was engaged the entire time, and her character is just, you know, it's so sad, and you get the emotion, and you feel for that character, unless you're a white Mexican and you hate that. So, you know,
and you're just horrible.
Yeah, you're heartless.
And then so. You just want everyone to know exactly how racist your ass is. But yeah,
right. So
yeah. Now I really thought Gaga was a lock the moment I saw A Star Is Born. But I don't know if she's going to win. Like, I walked out of like, oh, well, Lady Gaga's going to be a lock to win this.
I'll be surprised, you know, if she wins.
Yeah, at this point.
Yeah, now I'm surprised if she does win. But when I walked out, I thought, you know, that whole 7-minute stretch of Ali showing up and singing Shallows at the concert
mm-hmm.
with Jackson Maine, I thought was like, oh, this is like the clip they're going to show at the Oscars.
Yeah.
But now I don't know.
I just, I wasn't as in love with A Star Is Born as most people were. And for me, the standout was not Gaga. It was Bradley Cooper. I just thought I totally bought him as a horrible, horrible, drunken man who was like clinging to his last little bit of fame. I totally bought him. She was whatever. So I'm still, I don't know. Give her all the awards for the songs.
Yeah.
But the acting was whatever.
Do you have thoughts, Ro?
Okay, I thought she did a solid, but I this comes to me with the question of why isn't Bradley Cooper being talked for best director? Because I don't really feel like she did anything that wasn't organically coming from her. And they took the best parts of who she already was and managed to retrofit them to Ali. And for me, she was also whatever. I don't care about her. And the best parts of her that were organic were Barbara. They were Barbara fucking Streisand. Like at the very end of the movie where she, I'm sorry, that was, yes, I gritted and said it through my teeth. At the end of the movie where she's singing what I think is the best song is the one after he's dead and she's all sad and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Even everything from the way they made her look to the way they put her center stage to how they crafted that song is a combination of Judy Garland and Barbara Damn Streisand. It's not Ali. So I was like, there's just a lot of channeling of good things she's doing. And I don't think she should be here.
It was really in general that she started out like, I'm a songwriter and I write these songs and da da da. And then when she started her own career, it turned into It's Britney Bitch. I was like, wait.
I'm gonna have to stop you right there because how could you do that is a track, okay? It's a tune.
You're not gonna try to tell me you didn't bop to at least one Britney song before you realized you was dancing.
Like,
Britney.
How do you do that? That is a track.
I love Britney. I love the music.
I can't go
I'm
with
saying
you on that,
it was weird to me that the way they started it out and given the type of artist that he is, then for her to go very pop. As an artist, I was like, this is not
but isn't that where she started. But isn't
right,
that,
but that's what the disconnect was supposed to be for the character arc. And I got all of that. The problem was she embodied the character, but she didn't really sell it. She just kind of sat there. And I really feel like people are giving her this great thing because she was a brunette and she didn't, you know, over emote live unless it was necessary, like she was Lady Gaga. And I was like,
well, did you see her performance recently at the Grammys doing Shallow? Because she was full.
Did I turn from her performance recently at the Grammys for Shallow?
Right.
Yes. Well, I turned.
She was full.
She over-emoted. That's what I mean. It's like, and I feel like because people have seen her live and they see how she puts together a show, and because she played someone who was a touch more timid and a touch easier to be manipulated by outside forces and was viscerally, openly emotional. They felt like somehow they were getting this great insight to her as an actress. And I was like, no, but this bitch do this all the time. I mean, so I just feel like in a year where we have been talking about really, really strong and really, really great female performances, doing a solid job for your movie doesn't mean I should be talking about you for an Oscar. She was solid. She held. That's Bradley Cooper's movie. And I will find anybody who says it's not. And I I'm not talking about Lady Gaga for Best Actress. I'm just not.
Well, like, I'm with him. Like, I had her, like, oh, wow, that's a lock. And then I saw, that was before I saw some of these other performances, right? Mm-hmm. Then you see the other performances, you're like, okay, she's falling in the list. And then when you get this list and you're like, okay, so Kiki Layne's not going to get a nomination?
Personally did not think Kiki Layne should have gotten nominated, but that's neither here nor there. But I hear what you're saying.
Oh, really? I thought she did.
But you mean neither here nor there? That's the actual conversation we are having, which?
Yeah. I know. Yeah, no. I felt like her performance was a little too green. And I do understand that that's partially from some of like Barry's directing. But after seeing her in Native Son at Sundance this year, I think she's much better in Native Son.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes
in my
sense.
Personal opinion.
I'll give you that.
That makes sense.
I'm excited for Native Son.
Yeah, now you just made me excited for Native Son. I was like, oh, okay. Well,
lead with that
next time. Lead with that.
She's to be fair, she's on the screen less in Native Son, but I think again, because she's new to this, the more she's on screen, you see the better that she gets, the more roles she has. Because second role in, I'm like, okay, no, I see it. This is what I'm like. This is what I wanted from you in Beale Street, and I just didn't necessarily get attached to her. I also don't think that when you have a heavy, you know, we're talking about best ensemble. When you're talking about the ensemble of Beale Street, there's so many good actors that for me, because she's so green, I kind of lost that what I wanted to get from her in terms of that engagement.
Her sister, the woman, I forget her name.
Oh, Fiona Paris? Stronger. Oh, yeah. Much stronger. Yeah. And I think it comes with experience. I'm not going to ding her for that, but best actress nomination, I wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah. Oh, that may actually, going back to best supporting, so we didn't even mention Coleman Domingo and Michael Beach from Beale Street.
Oh my God.
We kind of skipped over them. So.
How did we miss that?
Yeah,
Jesus, I love that man.
Yeah. We kind of.
We couldn't tell at all, Shanna.
I love his acting. Since I saw him guest star on Lucifer, I've just loved his acting, and he's amazing. And I know folks who know him, and they say just even better in person.
Uh-huh. All right, you need.
Can we go into the snubs? Do we?
Yeah. For best actress. Yeah, let's go into some.
My number one is Ellie Fisher from Eighth Grade. That is my personal one. Eighth Grade is such a good fucking movie. And I honestly do think Bo Burnham I would fight for him to get nominated for Best Director as well, because I do think that that film is, I related to me personally, but Ellie Fisher really captured awkward girl trying to find herself. There's just a level of emotion and vulnerability in her role that I absolutely was very much bummed that she didn't get nominated for Best Actress.
Like, not just embodied it, but the way my secondhand embarrassment is set up.
Woo, me.
Every time she said Gucci, I cringe. I was like, this ain't it, Chief. This ain't it. Please stop.
That's a good catchphrase. Oh my God. I love this movie so much.
You have anybody else?
That was my number one. That's pretty much the only one that I had, like, no, what are we doing? That was mine.
I think we talked about this when we did Leave No Trace. Thomasin McKenzie?
Thomasin McKenzie, yeah. I was just going to say, we didn't mention her.
And I would think that was her lead, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I would say she was lead, but I don't know how they would have submitted her, but I would have said for lead.
Yeah, I can't remember how they submitted that. We did get a thing for her, but I can't remember if they put her down for lead or for best support. I would think she'd be lead. I mean, she did a really great job in that film. I mean, I like that film because I said this when I did the review for it. I really thought Ben Foster was going to be some kind of like really, really bad dude. Like he had kidnapped his daughter or something like that. And I was like, oh no, he just suffered from PTSD. Oh damn. Okay. Poor little Ben Foster.
You was already set to go to the evil place with Ben.
Because come on, 9 to 10.
It's, It's Ben Foster. It's what he do. I know.
Yeah, right.
Come on. It's Ben Foster. Let me give me some credit here. Anybody else for
But again,
go ahead.
You know I'm gonna say Hereditary.
Oh, Toni Collette. Yeah, a lot of people have been saying that.
Yeah, that was mine too, Toni Collette. I thought she was really good in Hereditary.
Anybody else for best lead for lead actress? You think you should have gotten a mention, at least a mention or a nomination?
I mean, I'm gonna keep saying Blind Spotting, but
who was the lead?
I am clearly biased. I'm not even gonna act like I'm not.
It's Blind Spotting is really good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, they completely buried it in the San Diego market, so I had to go hunting for it. Like, it was out before people realized it. They snatched it before it was over. But
whoever bought it, I think it was Lionsgate who bought it. They did a piss poor job in terms of the marketing because they had very limited viewings. And that's another you can have a whole like podcast episode on the marketing of this award season. Because it's very clear who put the push behind it. Like, A Star is Born is a good example. I was seeing commercials under my eyelids every 2 days.
but that's how I know I really, really like A Star is Born. Because I'm not going to lie, I was annoyed as shit by all the commercials for A Star is Born. And I only went to it because Ashanti really wanted to go to see it. I'm trying to be a good boyfriend. So I'm like, all right, fine. She was like, yo, when you get a screener for A Star is Born, Can you let me know? I want to go. I'm like, God damn it. I was going to skip that one. All right, fine. Go. Then like 2 hours later, I'm going like, this motherfucker just died. He left Allie by himself. And I'm like, God damn it. I like this.
Has you all
movie.
In you. Has right, you all like, in you.
Had me all in my goddamn feelings. I was like, God damn. Look at this fucking film. So, but yeah, no, the ad campaign for A Star is Born was annoying as shit.
Yeah, it was
everywhere.
Rough.
I love the parody of Miss Piggy and Kermit. As the characters, because I knew the commercial so well at that point that you could have swapped anybody in there.
Well, it was
and I would have still followed it.
If you're not familiar with it being a remake and you just don't, because I don't watch these kind of films. So the entire time I'm going like, what the fuck is A Star is Born? Who the fuck gives a shit about this? What is this commercial about? What is this trailer about? God damn it, stop showing in front of every movie. Then I watched the film and was like, oh, bless their heart. Look at this. Look at these.
You sound like Rocco from Boondock Saints. What the fuck? Who the fuck? Really? Really?
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. So we've gone
I don't know.
We've gone through best actors, best actresses, and the supporting. Anybody else we, even if they're not like performances that, you know, actually, not even do that because we've kind of done this already. And I'm springing this on them right now. What do you think are some of the worst performances this year?
Mark Wahlberg in Mile 22.
You had the Trigger-etti.
Wait.
Had that one in the clip.
I have to.
I refuse to see Mark Wahlberg movies because he's another actor that has a limited range of facial emotions. It's tough guy with limited range. And also, like, you beat Asian people. I can't.
So I see.
I went to see that movie for Homie from Raid. I did not go to see that movie. And I want to punch Spielberg in his face because really he cannot shoot a damn action sequence. Not with real
that
action.
Whole fight inside the when they're in the embassy and it's like a 50 million edits in a fight scene. And we've seen the raid, so I know Homie can fight. So why
and the stairwell.
Like this?
And the stairwell scene, they actually gave Mark Wahlberg a soliloquy. And I was like, seriously, I need y'all to just go on somewhere, divorce your wives, get married, and have you just be together. And stop making fucking movies. This movie could have been so great. I'm sorry. I jumped right on that bandwagon with you. He was trash in this movie. It was trash.
Yo, the thing that got me about that movie is at the end where they were like, wait, you think you're going to get another movie? You think
you guys are not mentioning the most obvious film though that was the worst performance of the year.
What's that?
It was Amanda Stanberg and Where
I haven't seen it yet.
Don't see it.
Yo,
I can't think of any because I very carefully choose my movie, so I hopefully don't run into these horrible performances.
But did you join me?
But did you
join me in this list?
Did you limit her to a movie or did you just say Amanda?
No, I said no. Where is she?
See why you got it.
Girl. Why you... I mean, mine. she wasn't great in her Hate U Give, in my personal opinion. Listen, but Where Hands Touch is top, like, hands down, the worst movie I've seen of 2018.
The only hands that should touch is the ones that throw that movie in the trash.
I spent my own hard-earned money on my laptop that I lovingly love. I almost threw my laptop across my living room at the first night the movie started. But the film started with a James Baldwin quote, and I literally almost closed my laptop and threw it across the living room. Like, how the fuck dare you? Yo, that movie is terrible. It's terrible.
So
I had to go to a second one because I left the first. I couldn't do it.
Oh, it's so bad. Well, hello, have you not seen the splicing of her saying nigga music, like Maybach music? My God.
Yeah.
So bad. So
that's
bad.
All you just go look that up, watch nigga that music. And then nigga you don't music. Need to see this movie ever.
So,
but why did everybody dogpile on me when I asked which movie she was, you know,
because you're not
out
wrong.
You trying to say she does some good work this year?
That's not the fight I'm gonna go with. There are more things I can fight about, but I won't fight about that.
No, I was just
to Hate U Give.
Okay. No,
I was just.
I disagree with that. Just because I've been very consistent on the fact that I thought she was extremely miscasted. I will also say one of the worst performances I saw this year, I'm gonna be honest, was Laura Harrier in Black Klansman. I thought she was severely miscasted there too.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I see Tim's Mark Wahlberg, and I read some of Bruce Willis in Death Wish.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I raise you a Death Wish. All right. And then for my, because I don't want to leave the ladies out here, I then also give you a Jennifer Lawrence in Red Sparrow, because we want to talk about somebody whose face does not change.
I blocked that out. Was that 2018?
That was 2018.
That accent she had in the movie? Yeah.
So if when we do that conversation about actors and actresses whose faces do not change because they only have one facial expression, make sure we remember Jennifer Lawrence has never.
Can I also add, and I wouldn't even say that this is like a terrible performance, but more so like the way people were hyping it up and what it panned out, I was disappointed with. But Nicole Kidman's performance in Destroyer was another one.
Mine. That was going to be mine. You will. Yeah.
Like, I love, because there's nothing that I love more than white women drama. And so Nicole Kidman in Big Little Lies was important to me. I love that series. So to come and turn around with this, I was like, ooh, girl. It was not good.
It was trash from beginning to end, from her face to her hair to her clothes to her monosyllabic delivery of her lines and not knowing how to act like she was drunk. It was trash. You know, a whole movie that I just realized that I really liked everybody who was in was Juliet Naked. And we didn't talk about that at all. Wow. If we talk about bad movies, I don't know why that comes up there. It's because it's the same day I had to see Mile 22. That's why. I saw Juliet Naked in the morning of Mile 22 that night. Yeah. But
so
yeah. Other terrible, Happy Time Murders.
Yeah. I was very
the whole movie. Yeah. That's what upsets me the most about Melissa McCarthy sometimes is that she'll do films that are like uncharacteristically, like I thought that were good that I wasn't expecting. Like, I think Spy is a very good movie. I stand by this. Like, I think she was great in it. I think the film itself, I went on a whim and I'm glad I did because I thought it was a very good performance. Obviously her and Can You Ever Forgive Me? But then she'll do these terrible ass films. And I do think, Ro, to your point, it's her husband. And like, I don't know what it is, but like, Happy Time Murders, yes.
All right, last
what
one.
What about Mortal Engines?
I didn't even bother going to that. Like, I think I'll let Brandon to go do that because I was like, oh no, I'm not doing that. And I think Ro, you saw it too. I was like, oh no. So I'm going through my list of films right now because I know that some of them I just skip out on because I got to save it up. And I completely forgot about this one. Jennifer Garner in Peppermint.
Peppermint.
Oh, I didn't even go to see that movie because I was like, if I wanted to see brown people get killed, I could just watch the news.
Like it's like they did Death Wish.
You don't want them to infantilize and then romanticize Skid Row.
Like
that's not what you want this year.
Like here's how bad Peppermint is so bad. Death Wish is actually a better film. Like that's how bad Peppermint is. Like I'm like wait a minute. Like I thought that maybe Peppermint. I was like I don't know. I'm getting bad vibes from Peppermint, but maybe it'll learn lessons that Death Wish. Nope. They doubled down.
The Predator and Death Wish were a better film than Peppermint.
Yeah, Predator. See, I can't even say Predator had funny performances. Like, I gotta, yo. Predator is so bad.
It's so bad, but it's still better than Peppermint.
It's so bad. It really was. Like, I just, like, what were we doing? But, like, it's a bad film, but I actually like some of the performances in it. Like, Sterling K. Brown is, like, hamming it up so bad in The Predator.
Yeah. Him and the gum.
He's having so much fun.
The gum should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor, because, like, the gum was a character in the fucking film. Like, everybody in that film is at the top.
I know another bad one that I could not stand from this year. Ike Barinowitz from The Oath.
Damn, and you know, I didn't see it because it didn't look good. Like, the trailers itself did not look great. And it's that's disappointing because I liked him as a writer on the Mindy Project. And I struggled with the Mindy Project in certain things. I mean, again, this not the time or place for the discussion or why. But yeah, it didn't look great. And so I'm glad I didn't see it. But yeah, I don't know how he got Tiffany Haddish to agree to be in that film, but God bless him.
No, I know how he got her to agree to be in that film. He was going to leave it alone. It was trash from beginning to end. But he wrote all these different stereotypes of personalities for this movie. And it was painfully apparent by 10 minutes in that he didn't know anybody who was actually like these, and that it's like he watched YouTube snippets or read people's Twitter accounts to build these people. So none of the narrative threads held, and the parts that were supposed to be super funny weren't funny. So I was laughing at all the wrong parts, the part where people were actually looking at me going, that really wasn't funny, he just like got shot. I'm like, ah, no. But yeah, so, but yeah, it was bad. And one of the reasons that made me really sad is because John Cho was in it. And he was brilliant in Searching. So I was like, how you gonna go from doing this little old movie that people aren't talking about but should be, to be in this really terrible, you know, dead in the face? Like, it looked like someone shot his entire face up with Botox.
Mm. Oh, no. And well,
then,
also,
and then ask him to talk.
Well, include him in the Best Actor discussion, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. John Cho was really good in Searching.
Yeah.
John Cho should have been
Patton for Traffic. I don't know if you guys saw Traffic.
No.
No.
Yeah, oh, good. No. Don't see it. But yeah, she's terrible. There's a scene.
Wait, I'm like, Paula Patton was in a movie this year?
Yeah.
Yes. But I've seen the posters look like, you ever been to like this is for my ladies. You ever been to like a hair braiding shop and they're selling DVDs? That's what the poster looked like. Go look at the poster when you get a chance.
Yeah, oh, it's bad.
Right now at Omar Epps. I didn't realize Omar Epps.
I'm looking at this. Right. This is terrible. This is horrible. So there's a scene where she has to skip it.
There's a scene where she has to be emotional when her husband dies, and it's I laughed out loud, and I was like, oh, I'm the only one here laughing. All right, let me stop.
Looking at the cast. It's like not bad people, like Rosalind Sanchez, Laz Alonso. I'm like, oh, I like these.
Was it like a bad script? I mean,
it's a bad everything.
Okay, because it's
predictable. It's dumb. It's like this hillbilly town, or they're trafficking young women. The girl, they kidnap a girl at one point in the movie. And
wait, is there a scene later, where they're running through the woods where there's just randomly the lights on in the background? This bitch keep trying to hide behind trees like she's dark enough to blend the fuck in. Is this that movie?
Movie. But
okay.
But what happens with the friend she gets like kidnapped by these drug traffickers, right? It's not even 24 hours later when they find her, and it's like she's been strung out on heroin for 4 years, the way she looks. I'm like, it's been like a day. Why is she all strung out in a day? It's that kind of movie.
Oh.
Great.
But you know, she has to be in the how many facial expressions do I have discussion.
Yeah. All right. We can do this forever. We'll carry this on when we do our best, the movie for best, the critic roundtable for best film and best director. So thank you all for joining us. Everybody who's listening, thank you guys very much for listening. Make sure you subscribe Movie Trailer Reviews on iTunes. Go to Movie Trailer Reviews to do that, not MTR Network, and Movie Trailer Reviews. If you can, please go ahead and leave us a 5-star review. We need to get our reviews up so I can get us into Rotten Tomatoes. So please do that. And we will be back soon. Thank you guys very much for listening. And until next time, we're out of here. Peace.